I want to call Kent and get some comment. I can hear his jaws flapping, even though he's got his mic off. Are you with us, Ken, or have we put you?
Yes, I am, Don. I just would like to take this segment of the program, though. I want very much to talk about the Japan radiation PSYOP story, an orchestrated scare campaign exceeding the fraud of 9/11.
I have the page open.
Okay, good. Now, roll down to the very first video you encounter there. If you look above in the descriptive paragraph, it says that in this YouTube video posted in February 2012, Rod Adams is explaining the purpose behind the Fukushima radiation scare campaign is to create so much negative publicity against nuclear power plants that the agenda is to create a groundswell of public fear of nuclear power plants, and in turn try to create the, let's say, a whirlwind of political undercurrent to shut down nuclear power plants and replace them with natural gas energy electricity producing plants. And he explains it very well. It's a very well done presentation. I just happened to come across it. I don't really know Rod Adams. I just discovered him by doing research. So I had embedded that video there.
I saw it. Yeah.
You saw it originally. You can kind of see the lighting was sort of a...
Well, they replaced it with natural gas, but it's a different kind. So.
Right, exactly. Let me just continue then to talk about this story. To me, it's an important story because it's pressing. This huge fear-mongering campaign that has been in place immediately in the wake of the March 11, 2011 attack on Japan. As I mentioned in my write-up here, that one site that I happened to go to and I saw this absolutely blizzard of articles about the Fukushima radiation, oh my God, the end of the world is just around the corner, was Rents.com. And I couldn't get over how many articles he was putting up. And I listened to some of the interviews he was doing with Yoichi Shimatsu, and I never heard such bunk in all my life. Shimatsu, former writer for the Japan Times, is first hardly an expert on nuclear matters to begin with, but if you listen to the context of his explanation, rubbish. I'm just hearing rubbish out of this guy. No evidence to back up anything he's saying. It's just one exaggerated statement after the next. So that first annoyed me. And then on KPFK, within a few days again of the 3/11 attack, I'm hearing these people like Arne Gunderson, and there's another party, I can't remember his name, also crying wolf about terrible radiation event, etc., that, oh my God, it's going to... And then from there, it just has been unabated for a solid year. The internet has been simply awash, and particularly Rents.com. There's an otherwise good website that I pretty much like called Global Research in Canada that typically has stuff that I agree with, but they've just jumped on this Fukushima radiation bandwagon with both feet. It's ridiculous.
There's too much money invested in
exactly. That's the point of me talking about this and putting this, because there's not enough people who are debunking the Japan radiation PSYOP. I think I'd be accurate in saying that my website and the articles that I posted by myself and Z.S. Livingstone and the shows that we had done back in March and April of last year with you all addressed this issue of the extreme hype in exaggerating the so-called radiation emissions out of Fukushima. Hugely exaggerated. And then in this particular write-up, I at least address a couple of videos by Lorin Murray, who, in order to write this piece, I listened to the video a couple times. I took notes. I wrote down. I transcribed much of what she had to say. And my God, in listening to it carefully, I realized just how utterly off the chart this woman is. She doesn't say anything.
There's an interesting thing, if I can interrupt briefly here, very briefly. We have this character, Alfred Labermont Weber, who, if you read certain publications that were out a couple of years ago, he was from Vancouver, Canada. And then you get into this story, all of a sudden, he's showing addresses in the university areas of Central California, as well as addresses and phone numbers in relation to Lawrence Livermore Labs, which ties him in to Lorraine Moray. How did this individual just pop out of nowhere and suddenly become this important person? So this all ties in.
Alfred Weber has been, let's say, acting as a host to Lorraine Murray's videos with him. He's essentially sitting there and nodding to whatever she's saying. So he's sort of acting as a, what shall we say, maybe the interviewer. She pretty much does a solo presentation. But at this point, though, however, though, I'd simply like to stress what Lorraine Murray herself is saying, since she's the presenter of this info. And when Alfred puts out an article, it's pretty much quoting her. So I want to focus on what she's saying. And what I like listeners to this show to know is anyone who has a brain and listen to her videos. I went to YouTube 4 or 5 days ago and just went through all the pages of all her videos. She has a lot there. I'm just guessing there's 100. There might be many more, but it seems to me there's 15 or 18 per page. And I think I counted 8 pages. So that would be well more than 100. And all of these videos are talking about Fukushima. So I listened to a few of them so far. I'm going to listen to a lot more, but I am flabbergasted at the willingness of this woman to say the most outrageous fabrications and say it in a way with a tone of voice as if it's authentic and real.
And don't try to argue it, because you're going to be made a fool.
So what I did in this piece here is I wrote out some of the transcript of what she said, and I emphasize the statements she's making. The statements are so outlandish and so absurd. If people who are buying into her would only simply consider what she's saying and review it critically. Now, you have to have a little bit of an education. You just can't be completely unschooled person, because a person like Lorraine can easily snow you if you have no educational background yourself. But people who have, let's say, an average education, listen to what this woman says, write it down, and ask yourself, is that true? And she's saying one ridiculous, dumb, moronic statement after the other. It just floors me. I mentioned here, for instance, in this first video I put up, that I saw her. In fact, I saw it in April. She posted it in April of 2011. And I saw it in April of 2011 because Alfred Weber was sending me the links to his articles in her YouTubes. So I guess he thought or assumed I was going to put up her stuff. So I went to that video and I listened to it. And in the first 3 minutes, you hear her say things that are simply astounding. This is just within a month of the Fukushima event. And she says in the very first few minutes, she tells the audience, the reactors at Fukushima are the largest in the world, and 6 of them are in total meltdown. That's her words. Well, there's only a total of 6 reactors at Daiichi. So she's claiming with a straight face that they're all in meltdown. Her next remarkable statement is, they have been melting down since 30 minutes after the tsunami. And her third statement, because the cooling system went off when the earthquake happened, and 90 minutes after the cooling stopped, the reactors go into meltdown. So I explain in the paragraph below that, that is anyone besides me paying attention to the idiocy of what this woman is saying? There was no evidence of even one reactor being meltdown. And Z.S. Livingstone made that very clear in an essay he came out with just a few days after the 3/11 attack. It might have been March 14th, I think. Yeah, maybe March 14th, 2011 is the date of his article. There was no meltdown at Fukushima. This is just within a few days. And here this woman, within a month of the event, is breezily stating to her audience that all 6 reactors are in meltdown. Now, if anyone is willing to be this cavalier and reckless with the facts, why would anyone with a brain in their head invest any credibility in anything she has to say?
Where did she suddenly gain this expertise on?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I'm going to let Z.S. say a word, because it's his words that I'm quoting.
All right. Z.S., go ahead.
Well, I have a very good memory, and I remember events around Three Mile Island and also other things to do with the nuclear industry, and having read a lot of books, also reading the original Manhattan Project biographies of the scientists who were involved with that. I'm fairly fluent on some scientific terms, and the term meltdown came about because of the China Syndrome movie, which happened within the same time period as Three Mile Island happened in Pennsylvania, and that was a hydrogen explosion, and a little bit of radiation did leak.
Mm-hmm. I've got to cut you off. I was so into what you were saying and what Ken was saying. We're upon a break. Keep your train of thought. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Okay? You're listening to Evident Footprints on the Micro Effect, and we'll be back after a few messages. Don't go away. P.S., I had to interrupt you because we were coming upon a break within a matter of seconds, and we are back with our final segment of Evident Footprints, and I want you to continue, if you can recall where you were.
I was going into describing how the term meltdown came into the American awareness and world awareness in 1978 with the China Syndrome movie with Jane Fonda and Michael Douglas. Actually, Michael Douglas was one of the producers of the movie. And China Syndrome refers to where if the coolant system of a nuclear reactor breaks down and the materials inside the reactor superheat, they'll melt the titanium tubes and form a huge lump of mixed steel, carbon, and other materials at the bottom of the reactor, which would form a critical explosive situation, which would cause small nuclear explosions. But then we'd be off-gassing the carbon, which would be highly radioactive from the carbon pile, the moderator, and it would start melting down deep through the containment floor and into the water tail below, creating a geyser of steam and smoke. And it would theoretically continue all the way in down to the center of the earth. And that's where the term China Syndrome comes, wouldn't stop until it got to China.
Yes. Now, if I can interrupt you, we did a number of shows, Ken, you and I, and we finally did one with the nuclear and electrical engineer, Jim Murray, where we revealed all the details about what was going on, this whole kit and caboodle of what happened at Fukushima. And there, if you remember the original picture, there was only a hole blown through the top of the reactor number 3, I believe it was. Is that correct?
Number 3 was the one with the mushroom cloud over it. The other 3 reactors, steel was just totally mangled. There was no mushroom cloud. Looks like...
Well, I see mushroom cloud, but not like a nuclear weapon. Like just a smoke that was spewing out of the...
Yeah, there was a hot explosion there.
Yeah.
Which is probably an explosive device, which could be a tactical nuke, or else just a heck of a lot of C4, hundreds of pounds of it. It would take hundreds of pounds to cause that same sort of disaster there. Very, very high explosive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the radiation and plutonium that drifted downwind, it's very likely there was plutonium core, at least one of the explosive devices that blew the 4 mm-hmm. buildings to pieces.
Now, the reason I brought that up is because of the description that Lorraine Murray is giving in Ken's article, where she says, beginning at 53 seconds, number one, the reactors at Fukushima are the largest in the world.
The largest in the world are at Mesa Verde near Phoenix.
So she's lying about that.
Yes.
Or just misinformed. And she says, and 6 of them are in total meltdown.
The explosions didn't happen until a day later, and they went off in sequence every 10 or so hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in full operation, generating those that had cores, nuclear fuel in them, were generating power and functioning.
And she
said, and had not been affected by the tsunami at all.
Mm-hmm. She says, number 2, this is Ken's quote, they have been melting down since 30 minutes after the tsunami. And then 3, because the cooling systems went off when the earthquake happened, and 90 minutes after the cooling stopped, the reactors go into meltdown. So she's even disputing what, in number 3, what she said in number 2.
Mm-hmm.
First it's 30 minutes, now it's 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, just take all the little details and, you know, Murray's arguments just fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't survive police interrogation if the interrogation went on for many hours and she had to repeat the same story many times. She'd probably have many different versions of the same story.
Mm-hmm.
That's the usual way that people can determine the truth, through just seeing the way that the witness reacts or relates the story. If it's the truth, usually the story remains the same.
I don't usually get into criticizing how people dress, but she looks like one of Santa's elves in the first video that Ken has posted on his site.
going into the whole thing of meltdown, if the four reactors that were demolished started to melt down, then there would be a permanent geyser of steam and smoke coming from the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
There were small puffs of steam, and every time that happened, you have the photographers or the commentators saying, oh, there's steam coming from such and such building, even days later. But they found out that there was actually power jet steam coming from the two undamaged reactors, providing power for the cooling systems and for getting water to the damaged reactors.
Mm-hmm.
But a meltdown would have been the most photographed thing ever. We would have had constant photographs, and they would have evacuated northern Japan. I mean, they would have had to get people upwind very, very quickly from that if there were steam plumes coming off those reactors. There never was a meltdown.
Mm-hmm. There's really an off-the-shelf explanation behind what was going on in the ocean from the alleged location of a Japanese sensor that would measure waves and take readings in case of a tsunami or in case of something unusual happening. Maybe it was there to read an attack that might be occurring. And that device happened to be over an underwater base that we discovered. Now, I'm not the only one that knows about that photograph. In fact, we talked about that ad nauseum, and its tie into the tsunami, which was a nuclear event, and an American ship in the area that hightailed it out of there, if you remember that.
Yes.
That was admitted that it was there. Didn't stay there to help. It took off as if they didn't want to be seen. Any comment you'd like to make?
Yeah, that was the Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier and its fleet. And when they heard the tsunami went to deep water, so the story goes. But it's very likely that Ronald Reagan is where the nukes that caused the surge of water came from.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the water from that explosion would have converted to steam, and a steam bubble would have caused the pressure rise of water onto the beach at Sendai and at Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
And also the readings of the ocean at Fukushima afterwards showed a huge amount of radiation. And of course, the people were saying, oh, that's proof of huge radiation leaks from the reactor, the damaged reactors. No, it was proof that the nuclear bomb had been blown off on the ocean floor, causing the problem in the first place.
Yes, and the internet was filled with other videos from other parts of Japan as if there were, let's say, vortices or energy anomalies that were occurring around mountainous areas several hundred miles away from that area. And I had mm-hmm. talked about that. In fact, you had brought up some of those videos, and I went and looked at those videos, and it was very easy for me to discern that they were multi-layered, that they had superimposed light, and that they had light dancing around and moving in circles, if you recall that.
Yes, I do.
That was all part of the PSYOP, just to get people's attention everywhere as if the Earth was meeting its maker at that moment.
Yeah, that's the southernmost volcano on the four main islands of Japan. That's actually about 1,000 kilometers away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like a UFO was landing on the mountain.
Yeah, and dancing. And
yeah, or sailing across the harbor there. Well, the volcano's on an island in a bay.
No, and these videos are alleged to be from space agencies and from the governments, which is what's crazy. Going back to what we're talking about in Fukushima and this underwater base, which was just west of the most western range of mountains in the ocean, and the tie to the area where that weapon was dropped caused a tsunami.
Have you been able to look back and get more pictures of the ocean floor there and see if that weapon did destroy that underground base?
That base is still in existence, to my knowledge. The purpose wasn't to destroy the base. The base is an operational area, and there's a landing pad. Spaceships go to that area. That's been confirmed, so anyone that wants to call me crazy, go ahead. I can call you crazy back. You know, I did quite a bit of research on that, and I was given some research, and I compared my research to what I was given, and I was able to take it a step further, and it was quite unusual because I was applauded, if you want to use that term, for what I had discovered in that regard. And the show we did, the final show you and I and Jim Murray did, basically we just laid the whole thing out like it happened, and we were complimented for that. So I'm looking at somebody dressed up like one of Santa's elves trying to sell lies to the world, and this person is in California, has no more intuition than me or you or Ken Adachi, but do you think, or Jim Murray, but you think the four of us can piece this thing together, especially with our immediate involvement, thanks to Ken and Ken's attention to this? These people and their stories and their lies are intended to counteract the truth that's come out on this show and Ken's website and through the work that all of us have done in that regard. Am I an expert on this? No. But can I look at this? Yes. Can you look at it? Yes. Can Ken look at it? Yes. Can Jim Murray look at it? Yes. And we don't have to put on a Santa's elf dress to see the truth and to communicate it to our listener. So,
Don, could I add a point here?
Sure. Go ahead, Ken.
I want to just emphasize in the remaining time of this show that it's really necessary for members of the public who happen to hear this show to, if they want to help, we need more people to come on board to analyze the statements of the Fukushima radiation promoters and write a critical review of what they have to say. And I've asked people at the top of this article, if you can take the time to assist in any way, please do. I don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of time to listen to a 30-minute presentation, an hour presentation. I just have to sit at the computer and listen and take notes. And because there are so many of these presentations, Lorin Murray alone, her typical presentation is between 1 and 2 hours. And if I were to invest the time to listen to all of them, I would easily spend 200 hours just listening to her. And Arnie Gundersen, Christopher Busby, there are easily 15 or 20 or 25 people who are all over the internet who are running wild with the Fukushima radiation, the sky is falling story. Besides my website, Jim Stone, and this nuclear energy advocate, a guy named Rod Adams, and some of his colleagues, I find no other websites anywhere on the internet that are questioning the validity of these outrageous falsities and misstatements being made by these people like Murray and Gundersen, Busby, etc. It's quite easy to shoot them down. You simply have to listen to what they have to say. Busby is remarkable. He's simply off the chart with what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned in my write-up about him, the guy has created this aura around himself through simply public relations promotion that he's some sort of big deal. Reading one guy that I had to respond to, who actually called me a liar, because I don't know what I'm talking about. This Fukushima danger is real, and this Adachi guy, he's a liar. And he just, what a brainwashed idiot he was.
Well,
he refers to Busby as a leading physicist of the UK, as if, you know, he's widely Then I start looking into the man's credentials. This guy is a joke. The guy has no real science standing. He hasn't published in one peer-reviewed journal. Listen, if you're in the world of science, if you call yourself a scientist and you want to be recognized and accepted as a serious contender by those in the science world, you have to publish in peer-reviewed journals. That's what the game is all about. If you want recognition that you're some sort of big deal, quote, leading physicist, brother, you've got to publish and be recognized by your peers. And Busby has done anything but that. This is a guy who simply gathers laurels around his shoulders and tells the whole world, I'm the scientific secretary of the Committee on Radiation Risk. The guy created the committee along with two other people. So he has his self-assigned credentials, and then he goes on these YouTube interviews, particularly this Russia Today. I mean, they got a set that it looks like a CNN newsroom, and they're talking to the guy as if he's the major domo of science for the European Union or something. They don't tell the audience that this guy is the head of a committee that he and two other people put together on their own.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's fraud is off the scale.
Yeah.
And then same with Gundersen. His material, equally flabbergasted. See, we have a little bit of time left.
I just wanted to make a quick comment, too.
Okay,
and it was after we had done a series of these shows with a waiting period, and when I went on the air, I began filling in for Dr. H. Huat on the Micro Effect on this network. in the beginning of August, and I did October, excuse me. And I did about a week and a half of shows, and I was offered a slot during this time period. And throughout the month of October and half of November, ending on November 15th, I was attacked. November 15th specifically, I was attacked by the same group we discussed in the final show with ZS and Jim Murray and I, talking about the elements of what really went on there and how this was accomplished. And it's the same group. Okay? I'm just adding that.
Yes.
You see?
So I understand completely. The point I want to drive home is that we need some help here. And these guys, these radiation promoters, even people who otherwise I would not expect this from. I was flabbergasted to see one of these pro-radiation psyop from Stephen Jones. He's the guy who came out around 2005, 2006, 2007, something like that, with the information about the physics of 9/11. It could not be the government's explanation of it, yada, yada, yada. Johnny come lately, better than nothing, but glad to see him come on board. But when I read his article, I couldn't believe what this guy's saying. Mm-hmm. This guy is just as over the top as Gunderson or Busby is. He said in his article, you ready for this? He said tons of plutonium were spewed into the air over Fukushima. Now, if that isn't a ridiculous statement from a guy who otherwise ought to be taken seriously, I don't know what is. And so the public, and I'm talking about the entire world public, is going to pay a dear price if this radiation psyop goes to fruition. What's the goal? To shut down all nuclear energy power plants and to replace them with natural gas. That's the goal. That's the game plan. So you say to yourself, well, what's wrong with that? Natural gas is clean and, oh, yeah, it sounds so Pollyannish and wonderful. There's a little problem. In the interim, as they shut down nuclear plants and before they're replaced by the natural gas, the economies of any country that has their nuclear power plants shut down are going to be adversely affected. Look at the effect that the artificial earthquake and the artificially created tsunami had on Japan. And the Fukushima radiation psyops originating with Japan, obviously they shut all those reactors down. There was nothing malfunctioning about any of the other 50-some-odd nuclear power plants around Japan. But because of this fear-mongering, they shut them down, and they kept them shut down. Now, this has an impact on the economy of Japan. Japan was expanding nicely prior to March 11th of 2011. They had, for instance, set up a, Japan auto industry had set up a lot of factories in Thailand because the labor market is much cheaper. Well, what did the Illuminati do is they arranged for a bunch of floods in Thailand. If you remember, if you go back to a year or so ago, we had all these mysterious floods in Thailand. They were created as all of their floods, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, etc., are now created for us by the illuminated ones. What was the purpose of that? To drive the Japanese auto industry out of business. That's pretty much what they're doing. I see Japanese TV. We get videos from Japan all the time. I know what's being seen on Japanese TV. This is all we watch. I don't see American TV because I'm not hooked up to the digital stuff. So we spend the majority of our time watching Japanese TV. And I saw the program in which the, because of that flooding, they're saying, well, we've got to reevaluate. We weren't planning on all this flooding problems. Their factories were damaged. So already, not all of them, but two or three Japanese companies that had built plants in Thailand to make auto parts pulled out now.
Yeah, down
camp. And that's what's going on. I'm sorry?
We're almost out of time.
We're almost out. Okay, well, I'll close it with this. Urge people, just look at these videos of all these people who are saying the sky is falling. Analyze them critically, and if you have the time, write something about it and send it to me. We need to have a lot more websites form on the internet, which is countering this tsunami of disinformation about this radiation scare, because we're all going to pay a big price for this in more ways than one. So I'll stop with that.
Yeah.
Apologies to ZS for eating up so much time.
We could do a number of shows and many more hours on all of this. How much do you want to talk about a crazy woman and an agent of disinformation? That should be enough. We laid the groundwork beginning on March 12th of 2011 you and Z.S. Livingstone and I on this very show. And every time we talked about it, and we did at least six shows, maybe more, and I talked about it to some extent, but I was also working behind the scenes on this event with a much, much higher source and more reliable group of people that agreed and said, there's nothing that they have to add or correct us on. We hit the nail on the head. I want to thank you both for being on Evident Footprints, and I look forward to your next appearance on the show. Have a great weekend. Gotta say goodnight to everyone. Ken and Zia, thank you very much.